hard part's over. Oh, God is good. He's the one who's faithful. Carries us through. Oh, this is where I'm more comfortable. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
All right? Yeah, I feel like I can relax a little bit now.
Now let's just see if I can remember my sermon. That would be an interesting thing. So last week we were talking about the feeding of the 5,000 plus, right? Because it was just the men that he mentioned. And one of the things that really stood out was the bad attitude of the apostles, right? Like, they really just did not want to be there. They wanted to be able to just relax with Jesus. They wanted a little bit of alone time, which I think we can all relate to, right? You get stressed out, you get busy, you're like, whoa, I need a break. And so when they looked at that and they were experiencing that, then all of a sudden, Jesus is telling them, you need to serve, right? This is your responsibility. I have called you to be servants. And so he makes them line people up. He makes them set everything up so he can take this little bit and turn it into something amazing. And as we saw last week as we left off, Jesus sent them off in the boat, right? So seems like they're finally in a good place, right? Like, oh, whew. Maybe like the preacher who had to act as a worship minister feels that, whew. But then the storm's coming. In Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. I want you to hold on to that. They did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. See, the disciples who thought they were going to get a nice, relaxing night on the boat, things didn't go so well for them, did they? No. The disciples had a rough night. See, because when they get out on the boat and things get moving and they get going, all of a sudden, the wind's against them. And so instead of letting the sails move them gently across where they can relax and have a nice, easy night, out come the oars, right? That's the negative side of sailboats. We're lucky to live in a society where you can have a motor, right? Because if the sails stop working, you drop the little motor in, you keep going where you want to go. Not for them. If the wind's going in the wrong direction, you row, row, row your boat. It's strenuous work. Has anybody ever rowed a boat? Oh, man. That is a workout. That's why they have a rowing machine. Did you notice that? You ever go in the gym and see the rowing machine? It's a lot of exercise. You know, I just start thinking about where they are and what they've gone through. And I'm just trying to put myself in the boat, okay? I'm there in the boat and I'm rowing. And then all of a sudden, the optimist of the group, because every group has an optimist, right? Every group has their dory, right? You guys seen Nemo? Their dory, always chipper, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Everybody's got that one in the group. And so I'm just picturing this one going, hey guys, wasn't that so cool what Jesus just did? Wasn't that just like super awesome how he like took this just little bit of food that's enough barely for like a kid to have lunch and turned it into food for like 5,000 plus people? Wasn't that just so awesome how he did that? You know, do you know what my response to them would be? If you could just, would you just shut up and row? We've been at this all night. We're still not there. Would you just be quiet? You can tell us about all your cutesy little optimistic stories when we get to the other side. But as for now, shh, Just row. Just row. And when we look at the heart and the nature of Peter, James, and John, they'd have been lucky. This person would have been lucky if that would have been all that they got. Because when we see James and John wanting to call down fire on a city, and we see Peter and some of the things he said, like, I'm a sinful man, you don't want to be with me, they probably would have encouraged this person to swim to the shore by gently, boop, tossing them off the side. It's in our nature, isn't it? When things go wrong, when things go bad, everything inside of us just wants to focus on the negative. You know, I got to tell you, this happens in my heart all the time. How about you? Things start going wrong. You start getting that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- how nice things are. I don't want to hear about, you know, the wonderful vacation someone just had. And I don't want to hear about, like, I just, when things are not going right, I want to dwell on the negative. Brothers and sisters, this is a dangerous thing. And it's especially dangerous because we don't look at it as a major sin. Do you realize that? Like, most people, like, I'm just having a bad day. Leave me alone. Okay? And I'm guilty. I'm sure some of you have seen it a little bit of me this week. It's been a stressful week, and I'm just like, whoa. But the reality is that this is a dangerous thing. When we start focusing on the negative and we start going down this path, it hardens our hearts. Do you realize that as believers, your hearts can be hardened? Like, I think a lot of times we think like, oh no, once we have Jesus, we're open and everything's sunshine and rainbows and, you know, pretty unicorns are going to come out and rain down Skittles. You know, we get these like crazy, you know, perspectives that like all of a sudden, all of the hardships of life are gone and everything's going to be just perfect and there's no problems. And, you know, and the reality is that these negative attitudes hardening our hearts prevent us from seeing amazing, amazing things. Do you realize that? They cause us to miss really, really amazing things. Do you guys remember the first time you heard the feeding of the 5,000? For those of us who grew up in church, we're probably like pretty little, like for me. But I can still remember, like, kind of like what Chad was talking about, that excitement of like, whoa, are you kidding me? 5,000 people? I can't count that high. 5,000 people are being fed? 5,000 people are being taken care of? And then when the teacher goes, that's just the men, my mind was blown. It was powerful. It was life-changing. You know, when we sang the next time, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. I'm like, I know! He fed 5,000 people. Isn't it powerful? It's an amazing thing. But their hearts had become so hardened because of things not going the way they expected them to, that they missed it. Now, as I was thinking about this, and I'm like, man, this hard-hearted, you know, man of God, I couldn't help but think of Jonah. I couldn't help but think of Jonah. You know, Jonah was so good at being a hard-hearted prophet that God gave him his own book. Look it up. It's in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. And Jonah was an interesting fellow. You see, Jonah had been called to be a prophet of God. We know he had been a prophet of God for a while. It wasn't just like God randomly called him up and sent him to Nineveh, okay? He had been a prophet in Israel. And so Jonah had this pleasure of being known as a man of God. And so he got to go around and he got to share with people God's word. And he was excited about it. He was energized about it. And then one day God comes along and goes, so Jonah, now your real work begins. Now I want you to go to your enemy. I want you to go to this city of Nineveh, these people that have persecuted your brothers and sisters, these people who have mistreated you and abused you. I want you to walk into their city. You go on in and you tell them to repent because I'm going to destroy them. And so, of course, Jonah, being a wonderful prophet of God, never having a hard heart, walked in and goes, "Hey, everybody, I got a message from God." No, not exactly. Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away. Why? Because he knew who God was. When people tell you that the God of the Old Testament is hellfire and brimstone and he was just tossing people out and crushing people left and right, and that somehow now God is different and loving, it's not true. This was a wicked city. Nineveh was a wicked, wicked city, and God loved them enough that he said, "I want you to go warn them, because if they don't change their ways, if they don't get things moving in the right direction, I am going to destroy them." You see, Jonah became so hard-hearted that he was not even willing to listen to what God was trying to do. And so God slowly but surely moves him around. If you've heard this story, he ends up in the belly of a giant fish. It does not say whale in the Bible. A giant fish spit up on the shore of Nineveh to go and to do the work that God had for him. See, this is very much a parallel with the disciples, isn't it? Because they had just gone off and preached the kingdom. They were ready to come back to Jesus and tell him how amazing God was, how all these wonderful things had been happening, all of this great and amazing stuff. And then, boom, as soon as their idea of how it's supposed to go gets switched or shifted, all of a sudden it's a different world. And they're like, "Well, we're supposed to have our alone time, Jesus. Give me my alone time." And so they end up with this hard heart. And so Jonah goes to the people of Nineveh, shares the message, and they repent. Listen to this. This is his response. In Jonah 4, verses 1 through 3, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life away, for it's better for me to die than to live.'" Wow, what a drama queen. But it's my heart too. It stings. It stings because when things don't go the way I want them to go, when they don't hit the way I want them to hit, when they don't follow the pattern that I think they should follow, my heart becomes tense. I become hard-hearted and I become bitter about the things that are going on. You see, God wanted to do something amazing. He wanted to save a city, an entire major city, from destruction. Anybody who would have predicted Nineveh would not have repented. Anybody that had walked in that city would have looked and said, "Nah, these people are too far gone. There's no hope for them." But when God sent his message, when God presented truth, they were ready. They covered them in sackcloth and ashes. They repented and they turned to the Lord. See, that's what those people needed, isn't it? Isn't that what we need? We need a God who loves us. We need a God who's going to cover over our sins. We need a God who's going to call us back to himself. And the reality is that's what these people needed too. That's what these 5,000 needed. When Jesus looked at them, he didn't look at them and just see the crowd that was bothering him. He looked and said they were like a flock of sheep that had no shepherd. no one to guide them, no one to care for them. And so Jesus fed them. He fed them spiritually, and he fed them physically. And the reality is that in all of this, the amazingness of what God can and does do, they missed it. I have to ask myself the question. I want to ask it of you too. What have I missed out on seeing that God is doing? What wonderful things have I missed out on because my attitude was wrong? How many times have I been Jonah? I can think of one very recently when my schedule didn't work out anymore. I was very much a Jonah. I'm sitting there pouting. Well, this isn't right. I worked it out. I planned it. I got it all settled. It's everything should have been fine. Everything should have gone the way that it was supposed to go. And God's going, I'm going to get you Sunday, Monday off, John. And I'm going, well, I know, but it shouldn't have had to happen this way because I figured it out and I had it all going on. And when I could have just been rejoicing, going, God is good. Oh, by the way, I got Sunday, Monday off again. So another 6 months, no worries. God is good. Okay? So, but what I'm trying to get at is, like, I missed the satisfaction of that. I missed the joy that I could have had because I was so caught up in just what didn't go right. So negative. So wrongly focused. So where has that happened to you? Where has that happened in your life? See, what I love about God, though, is that he's not like me. Do you guys ever love that about God? You know, a lot of people want to make God in their own image. I'm so thankful God's not like me. Because you know what my attitude is? When somebody throws a temper tantrum like Jonah did, you know what my attitude is? All right, well, you go sit in the corner until you figure out how to act right. You get out of here. You go over there, you sit down. Once you figure out how to behave like an adult, you can come back and have a conversation with me. Until then, I have nothing left to say to you. You're behaving like a child, I'm done, right? And I honestly, as I look at the apostles, it's the same thing. It's like, you know what? I think I'm going to crank those waves up a little bit more. You guys want to pout? Beatings will ensue until morale improves. Let's go. You guys want to be babies? You want to cry about having to serve people and do what God created you to do? Fine. We'll make it harder. But God's not like that. I'm thankful because I want him to not be like that to me. I want him to help me snap out of my problems. I want him to bring me back to where I belong. And that's the beauty of it. God does not give up. You see, Jesus looked out. He looked out over him, and he saw him rowing that boat. And I'm sure he could tell that a few choice words were floating around. I'm not saying they were cussing, but they certainly were not happy campers on that boat down there. They were frustrated. And I love what Jesus did, because Jesus lets him go a little bit, and then he finishes up. And early in the morning, he walks on the water. Just walks out. Now, the Bible tells us he's going to them, okay? Jesus' intention was to walk to the boat. But you notice it doesn't say he walked straight up to the boat like, hey, guys. No. Jesus walked in front of them. Like, the boat's right here. Here comes Jesus. Just and here I am, like, it's a ghost. It's terrifying, right? But you know why Jesus went in front of them? Why he didn't just walk into the boat? He needed to snap them out of their self-focused funk. His disciples needed to be drawn back into what was really important. And you see that terrifying experience was enough to snap them out of it and go, wait a second, our God's amazing. Our Savior is amazing. Look, this guy's walking on water. And I wonder if all of a sudden when they see him walking on water and he gets in the boat and the waves stop, they go, hey, man, hey, you remember that little bit of food over there? You remember how he took that little bit of food and how he made it into like this big feast and how amazing that was? And then instead of having a negative attitude, they'd be like, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was amazing. Our God is amazing. Do you see the difference in attitude? See, Jesus snapped them out of it. He pulled them back to a place and reminded them about what they were about. They were disciples of Christ. They were servants of the risen King. Their whole job was not to worry about what made them happy. It was to serve and to love Him and to find joy in what God was calling them to be. Now, sadly, I don't think Jonah's story turned out so good. Now, the thing about Jonah's story is it doesn't really say how he responds in the end. And so my guess is that because it doesn't say, it probably wasn't a good ending. But let's look at it together. In Jonah chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it says, "But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" So I have to give backstory. Jonah's up pouting, throwing his little temper tantrum. God makes him a leafy plant. The leafy plant covers him up, and Jonah's like, ah, good. Good. This is good. And then the next day, God sends a worm. It eats up the plant. And we have pouty Jonah again, okay? "But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry, I wish I were dead." Gosh, God uses broken people, amen? Wow, it is right. "But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for this great city Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" See, God still was reaching out to Jonah. He's like, you don't get it. You don't get it. Yes, you're my chosen people, but that doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean I want them to be destroyed. I want good things for them too, Jonah. Now, I love in my mind to believe that Jonah looked up at God and goes, wow, point taken. I'm a knucklehead. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to rejoice with these people at their salvation. I'm going to find great satisfaction and joy out of knowing that God does great things. Right? But it doesn't say. It doesn't say. And so, sadly, I believe Jonah probably fell apart. I believe he missed the point, and that his heart continued to be hardened. Brothers and sisters, we all go through these moments. We all go through these times in our lives where things don't work out the way we think they should. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's just the chaos of life. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's, you know what yours is. You don't need me to stand up here and tell you. So you can go, which one's mine, John? You haven't listed mine yet. Keep going. You don't need that. You know. You know the things that flip you. You know the things that make you negative. The things that are hurting you. We all have those moments where those things happen in our heart. The question is, how are you going to respond to it? When you look at that negativity and you see yourself becoming hard-hearted, whenever somebody shares something joyous and you're like, I don't care, it's time for a heart check. Whenever you're going through your life and more negative is pouring out than positive, it's time for a heart check. It's time to step back and evaluate and go, what is really going on in my heart? What is happening to me? Because all I can see is the bad. The beauty of it is that when we turn to the Lord, He is powerful. He can snap you out of it. Like we said, He's a chain breaker. He's a chain breaker. He will take away your pain. He will snatch away the chains that bind you and hold you. So believe in that. Hold true to that. Be confident in that. Let that make a difference in your life. Allow him to be the one that changes you, because the reality is that there's only two choices. We either continue in our hard heart, we miss the glory of God, we miss the amazing things he's doing around us, or we look and we do what God tells us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And then when these little things happen where I can look and go, you know, God got me exactly what I needed, that I can step back and go, oh man, that's so awesome. It's so good that God is so faithful that he makes the doors open. What joy are you missing out on when you have a negative heart? Turn to Christ and let him move in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now, and I just look and I think to myself, Lord, there's so much negativity in our world. It's poured out to us all around. It's poured out on our news. It's poured out on our radios. It's poured out on our televisions. It's poured out from the mouths of those around us. And Lord, it's so easy to get caught up on what we think should be, to be so consumed with what we think is right or the way we think things should go, that we end up missing your glory. Lord, I thank you that you're faithful. I'm thankful that you don't just let us fall apart without reaching out, without trying to come into our lives and snap us out of the funk. Lord, I thank you that Jesus was there to guide these disciples so that they could be reminded of who they were, that they were servants, that you were the one who was guiding them, and that they could just simply trust in you, that they didn't have to have things work their way to find joy in life. Lord, I pray that when we have our moments like this where our hearts are hardened to the good things that you're doing, that we will repent. And Lord, I pray more so that we will have a heart that avoids this negative thinking, so that we could be in the boat rowing with joy, going, man, our Savior's amazing. He can do things I never even dreamed of. Lord, I just ask that would be the heart of us, of who we are as a people here at church in Aurora. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.